January 21st. It was even warmer today, upper 40s when I got to the woods. Cloudy, heavy air. The soft snow on the path was now wet slick from the melt, icy in spots, demanding attention, step by step. There was an eerie fog hovering above the snow, maybe 20 feet deep up from the ground, visible to my right down the hill, to my left up the hill, and behind me when I looked back. But oddly, the air ahead appeared clear. The effect of all this was to distort space like an accordion, a kind of Doppler effect, the trees behind and beside seeming quite far apart, the ones in front of me crunched up together, foreshortening the path. Just after I took the dog leg down the path less traveled, I noticed immediately something that surprised me. There was a set of boot prints, on the small side, a woman maybe, heading in the opposite direction I was walking. What I said yesterday was highly unlikely to happen, given how this path abuts to the road. But there they were. So later yesterday, or earlier today, someone most likely saw my carved inscription on that downed tree. I'm not sure what to make of all this disruption of normalcy, but it got me thinking about some of the more unusual experiences I've had in these woods. Things hard to explain in terms of Newtonian mechanics, sometimes even stretching the perimeter of quantum mechanics. One of them I mentioned briefly in this fall, those huge, bulbous old trees I ran into one day when I left the path and headed into the thickets after I got twisted around, then lost on one of my walks. There were, I remember vividly, both that day and now, three of them, much broader in circumference than the other trees around them, covered with what looked like huge globules of wax that had run down the trunks and hardened into bark. I actually put my arms around one of them, just to be sure I wasn't making them up. What I didn't say in that essay is that when I went home and Googled a variety of combinations of terms to try to find out what they were, I came up empty. I've seen something like those surface lumps on some sycamore trees, less running looking, but similar. But these trees tapered up in a way sycamores don't. And there are no sycamores on or near any of the paths I walk on in Boyce Park, or any in these woods that I know of. The tapering shape was reminiscent of an African baobab tree, but Boyce Park is not in Africa. So I just let it slide. A few months later, about this time of winter, all the leaves down, ground all white, every single tree trunk visible for hundreds of yards ahead and around, I decided to go and find them again. I knew roughly where I had left the one path and roughly where I had connected up with the one above, so I headed that way. There was not one tree even remotely resembling the ones I saw and hugged, either in appearance or size. So I started searching in widening circles, a space maybe a mile in diameter on the ground. Nothing. A few days later, I tried again, widened the circle. Again, nothing. Those trees are not there. I am certain of it. How and why they were there the day I found them is open to question. My self-explanation at the time was it was a very large-scale quantum effect, the kind no physicist would believe could happen. But that rationale satisfied me. I didn't mention this to others or in my book because it seemed pretty outlandish, even by my standards. One day on a walk, though, I mentioned it to a good friend who shares my openness to mystery, and she said immediately, "Oh, it must have been a quantum experience." I was stunned and thrilled that there was at least one other human being in the world willing to entertain that thought. So that's how it got settled. A quantum version of Christ's promise. Where two or three gather in my name, there I am. That is where those trees are. I could see all the trees in the woods today, just like I did back then over 2 years ago now. I made no further attempt to try to find the ones that came that day to surprise and comfort me. I already know where they are and where they aren't. About a mile further down the path, there is an area of very thick underbrush, too dense to walk through if you leave the path. I had a very unusual experience there, too, in the summer of 2016, about 18 months after Carol died. I was coming down the narrow passage toward a little footbridge in that area when I heard a great commotion down to my right in the underbrush. At first, I thought it must be a bedded down deer I had surprised and aroused. But I know that sound, and this was way too much ruckus for that. Then I heard it again, and then again, all in the same spot. So I stopped and tried to see what was up. All that I could discern was a large, dark wing flapping just above the thickets at the ground level. I thought it might be a hawk, having come down to prey, but now unable to extract itself from the brambles. I said to myself, in my head, "You need to go down and help it get free." Then I hesitated, hoping for a second thought to come, knowing that in doing so, I would likely get bloodied, all beaked and clawed. I had it in anyway, figuring I'd survive and this bird wouldn't without my help. The flapping wing was only about 20 feet away, but it took me maybe 5 minutes to push through the brush and picker bushes to get there, a furious flapping happening with each noisy advance I made. When I got to the bird, I could see it was a large turkey, mostly hidden in the greenery, and I recalculated upward the beak and claw damage I should expect. When I reached in to make my first move, everything stopped, went perfectly still. I put my hand on this grand bird and could tell it was no longer breathing. It was dead, had died right in front of me there. I started crying. Not because I mourned for the turkey necessarily, but because it reminded me in the fiercest way of the fact I was not with Carol when she died. No one was. The guilt I carry from that fact haunts me to this day, a failure on the largest possible scale. No one should have to die alone, period. I should have been there, period. So what if I could not have known what was about to take place that day when I headed off to work? I should have been there, stayed home, something, anything. I went out of my way that day, a year or so ago, to witness a turkey dying in the woods. I prayed a prayer for it, shed tears for it, and Carol died alone. That is one of the weights that makes the stoop of my shoulders hard to counter. When I passed that spot today, I just kept my head down. Step by step, footfall by footfall, snow, ice, dirt, step, step, step. The inside of my head was a nothingness. No thoughts, no words, no future, no past, no trees expanding or contracting around me, no quantum trees stepping in to comfort me. Not even tears. Just a searing, guilt-filled grief at what I failed to be and do that day. Standing in for every single other thing I failed to be and do for Carol in all of our days together and for everyone else who has come into my care along the way. Unbearable. That was what became of my walk today.